And we call those planned over. So again, that word planning comes into it. And also when you go shopping, to shop with a list, because we all know you go to the grocery store and it's pretty easy to impulse buy and see something there that wasn't on your list. And so if you can really stick to that list, you're going to end up not spending the extra at the grocery store. I also want to just point out that you can help a family or an individual who's food insecure by thinking about how you can maybe donate some things. Just as an example, here in Riley County, through the Food and Farm Council and the Flint Hills Food Recovery Program, in the last year, we've rescued over 35,000 pounds of food. And these are a lot of them from caterers or the local farmers at the farmers market. We pick up each week the produce that they may not be able to sell, you know, that needs to be used in the next couple of days. And so they donate that. And so we have a pretty sophisticated system in place to capture that food before it gets sent to the landfill. And it helps people in need.
According to a report by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, over one-third of food in the United States is never eaten. And more food reaches landfills than any other material in the municipal solid waste stream. The report, estimating the cost of food waste to American consumers, found that the annual cost of food waste for each U.S. consumer is $728. That puts the annual cost of food waste for a household of four at $2,913, with an average weekly cost of $56. On today's Sound Living, tips for reducing food waste. To reduce food waste, K-State Research and Extension Northeast Area Specialist Sherilyn Jackson suggests planning your meals and shopping list, storing food properly, using leftovers creatively, and freezing food when appropriate. She also says that composting food scraps and donating surplus food to food banks can further minimize waste.
Planning's a big part of that, and I think it's even shocking to realize that we, on average, between 30% and 40% of the food in the United States goes uneaten. So it's either discarded or it just gets thrown out and ends up in landfills or down the drain in the sewer system, or a little bit of it, maybe 4% or so, is composted. And so that's really a challenge that we need to work on for a number of reasons. But yes, definitely one of the main benefits of preventing food waste is saving money. And a lot of different things go into that. They have determined that an average family of four spends about $3,000 per year on food that's not eaten. So that's a huge number. If you think about it, it's about $56 a week that your family of four could save. I could think of a lot of things to do with that $56. And so I think that's a real motivation for us to look at this issue.
Yeah, I think so too. And I'm assuming that some of this is the fact that we're either overbuying in some cases and just not being able to use it up before it goes bad.
That's right. And you know, sometimes we'll see a sale at the store, or we might stock up and then your plans change. And then you have some food that you have sitting at home that wasn't part of a meal plan, or, you know, our schedules are kind of unpredictable at times. And so there's a lot of factors that go into that. But really, it starts with planning is the main thing that you can do to help prevent food waste, and to start by shopping your pantry, your refrigerator, and your freezer first. So when you do that, and I'm speaking, telling myself that I need to do these things as well as advising others to do them, because I'm just as guilty as anyone of not doing that.
Yeah, I always hear the joke that if you really look around your pantry and your refrigerator and your freezer, you could probably eat for a couple of weeks without really having to go to the store for a lot of food, maybe just some of the basics. And I think that we do that from time to time. We forget all of the things that we have.
Exactly. And so it's really helpful to keep a running list of, particularly if you, let's say you have a freezer, and what's in that freezer, and to know the dates of when it was put in there so you can use the things that have been in there the longest first, and then to check those off the list and maybe plan your meals around at least some of the items in there, maybe some of the meat and chicken, whatever you have in there that you've already purchased, and then just plan your meals around that.
That's kind of one of the things, too, is also to plan those leftovers, because if you do have certain things you can make a lot of and freeze individually so that you can just grab them when you need them.
Right, and we call those planned overs. So again, that word planning comes into it. And also, when you go shopping, to shop with a list, because we all know you go to the grocery store and it's pretty easy to impulse buy and see something there that wasn't on your list. And so if you can really stick to that list, you're going to end up not spending the extra at the grocery store.
There are some things at the grocery store that right now are higher priced. Beef, for one thing, is one of those that's higher priced, but there are some other meats that you could buy in its place, right?
Right, and you can think about some strategies to maybe stretch that beef and prepare it differently. You don't need to have like a big solid piece of meat on your plate. You can maybe use that to make a stew or a stir fry or something where that flavor is still there, but then you can supplement with other foods and just be mindful too of portion sizes. We often think about what a portion size is really bigger in our mind than what it really is in reality.
We sometimes think of a restaurant portion size instead of a normal portion size. Also, when we do the meal plan, we have an opportunity to make sure that we're really getting a balanced meal as well, because we're thinking, okay, I need a protein, I need a fruit and vegetable, that sort of thing. So that balanced meal is a little bit easier to put together.
Yes, definitely. You can plan your entire meal and have that list and be able to manage those portions better. And another thing that can be helpful is sometimes you'll have maybe just a spoonful of veggies like corn or peas or potatoes even that's left over after a meal. You can keep a container in your freezer where you accumulate those small portions of sides. Maybe it's some rice or pasta. And then make a soup after you have a good combination of those. That's another strategy that you can use.
And keeping those broths from chicken and turkey and things like that as well.
Right, and keeping some of those veggies that kind of go a little bit limp, and maybe you don't want to use them in your meals, you can still create a vegetable broth. Just cook them into a vegetable broth to use for soup later. So there's just a lot of things we can do if we take the time to plan it out and think about it.
We're moving into that season where there's going to be a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables available. I guess probably maybe the caution here is to only purchase what you think you can use in a realistic time frame, because it's not going to last long, really.
Or to just think about making your freezer your friend and to take advantage of the fact that these are in-season items right now that you can freeze for later. Maybe you also, canning is coming back a little bit, and to first of all, just want to say, be mindful that there are some new canning regulations and guidelines and to follow those, but also ways that you can put that food away for later because it is more abundant, the fresh produce. And it really makes a lot of sense to do that because the nutritional quality and the cost is going to be more advantageous. One of the things I want to mention, too, is that when you do have some items, there are people who can benefit from the food that we might throw away if we can't use it. And so I also want to just point out that you can help a family or an individual who's food insecure by thinking about how you can maybe donate some things. Just as an example, here in Riley County, through the Food and Farm Council and the Flint Hills Food Recovery Program, in the last year, we've rescued over 35,000 pounds of food. And these are a lot of them from caterers or the local farmers at the farmers market. We pick up each week the produce that they may not be able to sell, that needs to be used in the next couple of days. And so they donate that. And so we have a pretty sophisticated system in place to capture that food before it gets sent to the landfill. And it helps people in need. And so if you have a food pantry that you can donate to, or some blessing boxes that are emergency food, those are also ways that you can extend that food to somebody else that could really use it.
Go a little bit more in depth. How does this work in terms of making sure then that the food is able to get to the people that really need the food?
You have to have a real plan in place, a kind of a system to make sure that the food is safe in that process. So we have those guidelines in place and use an app to be able to notify a volunteer when there's food available. For example, if you have a catering event and there's a whole pan of potatoes left over, that volunteer will take that to a commercial size freezer or refrigerator so it stays safe and then gets distributed to our local common table, which serves food to the public on a daily basis.
So this is a real network then that's working together to make this happen.
It works very well. It is a network, and it's really having a great impact in our community.
We often think of giving to food banks around the holidays, especially Thanksgiving, Christmas. Really, this is a year-round need. So as you're going through your cupboard, look for some of those things that are maybe nearing those dates.
Right. And if you don't feel like you can use those before the date I think also knowing what those dates really mean, because it's best if used by doesn't mean that it's spoiled after a certain date. It's just that the best quality that it's going to be is going to end on that around that date. And so it's still going to be safe to eat, but the quality might not be as good. And so to really know what those dates mean, a sell-by date tells the store how long to display that product before they need to get to sell it for inventory management. A use-by date, again, is also based on quality. And then a freeze-by date is based on quality. It's not necessarily safety, but then that quality is going to be down and starts to go downward. So I think that's something that we have a misconception about, even though that date has passed, it can still be good food to eat.
Sometimes a mindset, too, because I know that some people are just, oh, it's leftovers. I really don't like leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's what you do with those leftovers. Maybe it's not just eating the same meal twice. Maybe it's coming up with something a little bit more creative.
That's right. If you have like a roasted chicken and then you can maybe do something the next day, put it on a salad or incorporate it into a sandwich and use it differently, to just plan ahead to do that. Or just kind of depends on, some people love leftovers, some people don't. And so it might be helpful to have maybe some containers that you can freeze for meals to take to work, and they're ready to go meals that you just have in your freezer that you can grab and go, like you're making your own frozen dinner kind of a thing. So just to figure out what works for you. Depends too on where you are in your life cycle. If you've got some teenagers around the house, they'll probably clean up those leftovers pretty fast. As you get older, as you and I know, they probably sit there a little bit longer. And so I've gotten more used to using that freezer to move those around.
It is a nice convenience, though, as you say, because if you are in a hurry and you've got the leftovers, easy to pop it in the microwave mm-hmm. or throw it on the stove and it's ready to go. You don't have to actually sit down and make another meal.
Right. It's really helpful to have those there to fall back on.
Proper storage, you were kind of talking about that, the fact that when we get things that we would like to save, we need to make sure that we're getting those into the fridge at the right time. And really, we do still need to eat them within a certain amount of time.
Right. And if there are some things that you don't feel like you're going to be able to get to, is it something then, before it spoils, then can you freeze it? Or how can you pass it on even to a neighbor, for example, or somebody that might be able to use that food? Also, just a couple of things that help extend, like fresh produce, to wait to wash your berries or cherries or grapes till you're ready to eat them. That's always a good strategy. Just how you store your food, get it in the refrigerator, into storage as soon as you get home. That helps extend that shelf life a little bit more, that life of the produce. Also know that in your refrigerator, your door is a little warmer than the rest of the refrigerator. So the door is a good place to put your condiments, that kind of thing. Put your milk and other foods inside the refrigerator itself. That'll help it last a little bit longer.
Yeah, and make sure that refrigerator is between 35 and 40 degrees mm-hmm. because sometimes we don't really know, but it's easy to throw a thermometer in there.
It is. Easy to have a refrigerator and freezer, a thermometer there to just check those temperatures and make sure that they're working optimally so that you can make sure your food stays as good as it can.
You also mentioned composting, and is that mainly using kind of the scraps to make that organic matter?
Right. Composting is a really great option, and we have some resources, an extension on kind of a beginner's guide for composting, that if particularly if you have a landscape or a garden or a vegetable garden, you can utilize that compost, and that's a good way to deal with those scraps like banana peels and the scraps from food preparation as well.
So a lot of times that's just keeping things out of the landfill and
mm-hmm.
out of the trash. So
right.
something that we
right.
also need to focus on as well as we kind of try to become more sustainable.
Right.
As you mentioned at the beginning, a lot of this is just planning and making sure that food is being used up as best we can.
Exactly. And just to be mindful. I think that none of us want to waste food. That's not something we intend to do. And so to just be a little bit more mindful of it, the next time you go to the grocery store, to think about not overbuying. Sometimes buy in bulk looks really appealing. But if you can't utilize all of that food, then you're going to end up tossing it. It's not a good deal anymore. And so just be a lot more practical about that and think it through and plan ahead and purchase what you're going to need for that particular week, and that can help you save the grocery store.
That's K-State Research and Extension Northeast Area Specialist Sherilyn Jackson with tips for reducing food waste. The EPA also suggests planning your meals the week before you go shopping and buy only the things needed for those meals. Make your shopping list based on how many meals you'll eat at home. Consider how often you'll eat out, if you plan to eat frozen pre-cooked meals, and if you'll eat leftovers for any of your meals. Also include quantities on your shopping list to avoid overbuying, and remember that buying in large quantities only saves money if you use all the food before it spoils. More information is available at epa.gov and at all county and district extension offices. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman, and this is the K-State Radio Network.